Okay. It's the 26th day of March 2017 in the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. And we're in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. We continue there. Not going to preach through the whole book of Revelation, hopefully the first three chapters, till we get to the church of the Laodicean, which I believe to be the last church age and the church age that we're in now. And verse 6, we entitled last week's message, which also come from verse 6, and hath made us. The first three, four words of that verse 6, and hath made us. This week, God has a kingdom. He has made us. Verse 6 says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our God, we thank You for the reading of Your Word this morning. Thank You for Psalm 51. What a beautiful passage and psalm it is. What an enlightening psalm it is, and what an awakening psalm it is, O Lord. And we thank Thee for it. We thank You for this verse in Revelation 1. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for leading and guiding us into all truth. And pray, O God, that You would not allow us to depart from that, but we would be careful to stick to the Word of Thy Holy Word, the Holy Writ, and that the Spirit of God would help us and lead us this morning. Be with us now, O Father, and help us as we attempt to feed Your sheep and Your lamb. To ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God has a kingdom. If He's made us kings and priests unto God, then God has a kingdom. I was just reading over there in Psalm, when I was looking at Psalm 48, the first couple of verses there that we sang. In Psalm 49, I believe it is, hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to be a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the heart. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? Well, that was not the one I was looking at. I'm so sorry. The one I was looking at was right there on this same page, and it was talking about that God was the king of all the earth. And I missed it there somewhere. God is the king of all the earth. So, in that respect, the whole earth, and not only the whole earth, but the whole world, the whole universe. And if you listen to these intelligent, whatever they call those guys that watch the skies these days, there are lots of universes. They're just everywhere. It just goes on and on, universes. He's the God of it all because He created it all, and He's the King of it all, and it is all His kingdom. But the kingdom that He's talking about here, the kingdom that He has made His people kings and priests, that kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. It is the kingdom of God. And it is referred to mostly in the Bible as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because John the Baptist came preaching and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was talking about the church age. He was talking about the gospel age. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, coming and was here. Repent, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, was preaching the same message. He said the exact same words that John the Baptist did. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven. God has a kingdom, and it is His people, those that He chose before the foundation of the world, and wrote their name in the Lamb's Book of Life and gave them to His Son. That's the kingdom that the Bible talks about when it says the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God in most cases. Sometimes it's talking about the kingdom of glory at the end of the world, after judgment, when we'll be in complete heavenly bliss, happiness forever. Sometimes it's talking about that kingdom, but usually it's talking about the church. And last week, we had mentioned that in Romans 11:4, where he says, I have reserved to myself. Just, I don't want you to forget that. As we continue in verse 6, God says, and I have reserved unto myself. It is God that reserves and preserves His people. There is no, what do you call it, let go and let God. It's all God. It's all God. He hath reserved unto Himself. That word kingdom here that it's talking about is the Greek word is, I believe, pronounced basileia. It means royal power, kingship, dominion, rule. A kingdom, the territory subject to be ruled of a king. Used in the New Testament to refer to the reign of the Messiah. Thank the Lord for that last hymn we sang out of the Baptist hymnal. What did it say? That the Lord Jesus would reign forever. And the Bible says that His reign is without end. It is eternal. It is everlasting. He will reign forever. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's reigning now and will reign forevermore over His kingdom. He is the King of His people. That's meaning royalty, that word kingdom. That is to be ruled over. And the Lord rules over His people. And He preserves His people. He has reserved unto Himself, the Bible says, 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal or to the image of Baal. Now, there are people that worship everything that you can imagine these days, mostly themselves. Mostly they worship themselves these days because you can tell how many people are in a church where the gospel is truly preached. There are very few because they worship themselves. They want to be entertained. They want to be patted on the back. They want to be told how good they are and that everything is fine, going lovely. You just keep coming to church every Sunday and pay your tithes. And if you can't come every now and then, that's all right too. Just send your tithes on in. And we'll feed you free hot dogs and stuff. I'd just soon be picking up beer cans on the side of the road and sit on aluminum as I had preached such stuff in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Them preachers have got to be ashamed of themselves, compromising the Word of God so that they can keep their job at a fancy church. It is a shame and a disgrace. The kingdom of God. Let's look at some from the time that Jesus began to preach in Matthew 4:17, from the time that He began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was talking about His own kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, the gospel church that would be here upon this earth. The church age. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist preached it. The Lord Jesus preached it. His disciples preached it. And it is still being preached today and will continue to be preached until the Lord returns.
Amen.
He'll continue to have His ministers preaching the gospel. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. And let's look at some of these things. Luke chapter 4, have you ever took your concordance, Strong's Concordance, and looked up the word kingdom? My little download I have on my tablet here lets me search for words. And I put the word kingdom in just under Matthew, and it only will show me 100. That's all my little... I guess if I would pay for the better app, it would let me do more, but it showed me 100. And then you have to move on from there. And 100 in the next, and 100 in the next. Kingdom. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Chapter 4, let's see, begin at verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. Now you just think about this. He's in the synagogue. Brother John preaches in an old synagogue, does he not? That building is an old synagogue. So, nothing a lot different than what we have here. I don't think they have one of these. They go to the creek, or stream, or whatever. But it's not a lot different than what we have. So, don't think that it's something peculiar or different. It was what they called church then. And they went to the synagogue, and he stood up to read. Which is what we did this morning. We read the scripture, Psalm 51, and sang Psalm 48. Now, and when he read this, he read about himself. He read what the Spirit of God told Isaiah to write and prophesy about the Messiah, and everybody understood what he meant. It was about the Messiah. And he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I'm just trying to picture this in my mind as I've been reading it this week. That the Lord Jesus stood up to read, and he read this wonderful prophecy from Isaiah, and then he sat down. And every eye was fixed on him. And then he said, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Said, listen to this guy. Listen to him. Listen to what he's saying. He is saying that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He is saying that the Spirit of God is upon me, and he hath sent me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. They understood that of the Messiah. He is saying he is the Messiah. And all bear witness, and all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country, but I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow, meaning not Jews. Elijah was sent to none of the Jews. But he was sent to this Gentile city. And many lepers were in Israel in the times of Elias. Elisha, the prophet. And none of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Yes, sir, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it cuts deep, and it just cut them deep. It cut them deep when he told them about the prophets of God, and they wouldn't go even to the Jews, but they left because a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And so they cut it. He cut them deep, and they were angry, filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill or the edge of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Wanted to kill him right there on the spot. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Now, how could he do that out of all those people in the synagogue? Just kind of slipped through, went on about his business. For it was not yet his time. He has a kingdom, and he preserves and reserves his own people. Always has, and he always will.
Right.
Not a one will he lose. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. He has a kingdom. He is the king. And these people could tell as he was preaching and as he was reading the scriptures and the things that he said with authority and with power. They knew that this man was the Messiah, even though they couldn't believe it because this was Joseph's son and his mother's name Mary. We know them. They're from right here in Nazareth. He can't be the Messiah. I like reading this. I've read it several times. Let's read this a little more. Even though it's got nothing to do with the kingdom, but yet it's got everything to do with the kingdom. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Oh, I just like reading about it. Yes. They knew. The devils knew. Of course the devils knew. The devil himself had to present himself before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and bow before him. Hey, he's king. And you bow before a king when you come in his presence. You kneel at him. He's king. He's not just a king. He's the king of the whole earth. He's king of all. Some of us bow before him now gladly, willingly, and humbly. But one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
They'll be conquered by the King. Well, let's read. We don't like but a few more verses. We'll be through this chapter. Let's read just a little more because it goes into Peter's house and sees his mother-in-law. Oh no, Peter couldn't be married. He was the first pope. And popes don't get married, do they? Popes don't get married, do they, Brother Tom? Huh. Wonder how he was the first pope when he was married. Well, do tell. They must have missed that somehow. They must not have read this part of the scripture. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, that's Simon Peter, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. Now you can read the same thing in Matthew, but it reads a little different. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God! And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. When it says that, it means Messiah. They knew that he was the Messiah that was to come and to save his people from their sins. The devils knew this and cried it out. But he made them hold their peace. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him. And he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God in the flesh, with flesh and bone and blood just like you and I, weaknesses just like you and I, got hungry and thirsty, but he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he always will be. And he went and preached, what did he say? The kingdom of God. He went and preached the kingdom of God. And he preached it with power and with authority. Let's turn while we're reading to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, and we'll start reading about verse 24. Now this one, this reading here has got to do with the kingdom. And look, anytime you read in the New Testament, it's got something to do with the kingdom. We are the kingdom. We are God's kingdom, the church. And it's all got to do with the church, one way or another. It's got to do with the king of the church. The king of the kingdom. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven. What is he talking about? The kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about that great, wonderful streets of gold and gates of pearl. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the church. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. He said these things so that the word of God that was spoken by the prophet way back yonder would be fulfilled. Because he was the man of God. He was God's mouthpiece for the earth at that time. And he spoke that parable because the day was coming when it would be fulfilled by the Lord Jesus himself. And the Lord Jesus made sure it was fulfilled.
Amen.
Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field." And he answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." That's marvelous. Didn't we have something like that in our morning devotions this week? About the Son of Man? The Son of Man. He calls himself the Son of Man. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself." Spurgeon said, "Don't try to quote Scripture. You'll mess it up. Turn to it and read it." But he humbled himself. The Lord Jesus calls himself here the Son of Man. Where was that? "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man," meaning the King of the kingdom, himself, the Lord Jesus. He is the one that sowed the good seed. The field is the world. So he sowed his good seed, us, the kingdom. He sowed us into the world. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's every born again elect of God. That's every elect of God, period. Converted yet or not. He's preserving them. He's reserving them for that great day when He'll call them by their name and they'll come running. And they'll do the same thing David did in Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Forgive me of my transgressions." The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now he's telling them, he's explaining the parable that he told out amongst the people. He's explaining to them that he, the Son of God, sows his children into the world. But the wicked one comes along and sows his children amongst them. Isn't that what he said? The wicked one. The tares are the children of the wicked one. So the wicked one has children, which is the devil. And God, the Son of God, God the Holy Spirit, has children in their kingdom. And the world is the field. And both the Son of God has planted his children, and the devil has planted his children, and there is no in between. They were not once children of the devil, and they became the children of God. They were adopted sons of God from eternity past. They just hadn't yet been born from above, some of them. Some of them have, some of them haven't. But it's very clear to me that there's two kinds of people here. There's the wicked one, who is the devil and his children, and they're planted in this world. And then there's God's children, the Son of Man's children, that he's planted in this world, and they're planted together. And as therefore the tares are gathered and burn in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world, this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. I like that. The Son of Man. The God-man. And he's telling his apostles this when they come, the disciples, when they come to him and said, "Explain to us about the tares in the field." And he says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now, Brother Thomas was preaching this morning about mortifying sin in our lives, and what a serious matter it is. And I am assured that every truly child of God, children of the Son of Man, are mortifying the sin that's in them. Some more than others, some less than others, but we are all mortifying sin, because those that commit iniquity, which is transgression of the law of God, are going to be burned. They're going to be gathered up by the angels and burned. And know what he said? Do you think the Lord lied? The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend, and them which do iniquity. God's people do not live in sin.
Amen.
And when we do sin, it's not because we were wanting to sin. We were not loving and enjoying sin. As soon as the deed is done, then we repent and cry out with David, "Have mercy on me, O God! How could I do such a thing?" "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. The kingdom of heaven, the church, God's people, when he finds that treasure, it becomes more important to him than mama and daddy, wife and children. It's more important to him than all the things in the world. And he hides it. Goes and sells everything that he's got. He wants to be sure he can purchase that field where that treasure is. That's the difference in a child of the King and a professor to be one. The professor wants to get to heaven some way or another, but he does not want to give up his will and his ways while he's on this earth. He wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. But if you eat it, you don't have it anymore. You can't eat it and have it too. That's just the way it is. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from amongst the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Yes, Lord. You see, Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven, and John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of heaven, which was right opposite from what the Jews, the Pharisees, and the scribes had been preaching. They had been preaching justification by works. They had been preaching justification by keeping the law. And John the Baptist and Jesus came preaching, repent! Change your mind! You're thinking the wrong way! You're not going to get to heaven by your works. You're not going to get to heaven because you made a decision for Christ. You're not going to get to heaven because you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. You're going to get to heaven if you're a child of the King. If you're one of His children that's been planted in this earth, you're either a sheep or a goat. I don't know which, and I don't care. I can't divide them. And the Lord told His angels, let them stay. Let them grow up together. And I'll reserve mine. Isn't that what He told Elijah? I have reserved unto myself. God reserves His kingdom. He keeps us and preserves us. He cleanses us in His own blood. He washes away our sin in His own blood. And then He sanctifies us day by day. Now on our court record in heaven, we're already sanctified. On our court record in heaven, our righteousness is the righteousness of God. We're perfect. But here on this earth, it's one day at a time. 1 minute at a time. 1 second at a time. That we cleanse ourselves from wickedness, from evil thinking, and from evil talking, and from taking the Lord's name in vain, and not allowing people to do it around us. See, most church-going people today take the Lord's name in vain every day. They speak of Him as though it were something casual, instead of in fear, worshiping and serving Him. Because that's the way their religion is. It's casual. It's not sincere. Their worship of God is not the worship of our God. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. This was my prayer this morning. Part of it. I wrote part of it down. Oh Lord, send a revival to this earth and let it begin with me. Build a fire in your servant, my Lord. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation as it was and greater than it was when you first saved my lost soul. Let me better understand the power you have given me over self, Satan, sin, and the world. Because when he says there in Revelation 1 verse 6, he has made us kings and priests, he has made us kings over self. Sin shall not have dominion over us anymore. We used to live in sin when we were living in sin and before we were converted. But now that we are a new man, a new creature, we bring forth the good works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we put to death those sins, those things of the body, things of the flesh, things of the evil mind, the degenerated heart. Let me better understand the power that you've given me over self. He has made us kings and over Satan. You see how the Lord Jesus told those devils to shut your mouth, be quiet, and come out of these people? How they obeyed Him? He is King of all. He's really King of His people, but He is still King of the whole earth and the whole universe. It is by His Word that things are held together. Those galaxies out there, like our own Milky Way galaxy, They say there's billions of galaxies out there. Can you imagine? We can't even get out of our own galaxy. We can't even get out of our own solar system. And there's a lot of solar systems in our galaxy. We can't even get past the moon. The next closest planet is Mars, and we can't even make it to there. And they say that all these galaxies are held together by something. Why they don't just go off chaotic? But they say there's a uniformity to them, and that they're held in place. Even though they're all moving at great speeds, they're all held together by something, and they don't know what it is. And some guy came up with the name of dark matter. They're held together by dark matter. All he's got to do is read the book. It'll tell him exactly what's holding it together. The Word of God. The Word of God is holding it together. Let me better understand the power that you've given me over self and Satan and sin and the world. Cause me to show and to bring glory unto you and my Father, not shame and disgrace. Keep me, Holy Father, in thy grace and love. Bring me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Cause me, O God, to be a good example before thy people. Send a revival, Lord Jesus, and let it begin in me today. Turn me, O Lord, and I will be turned. I want to read one more scripture to you, and then we'll go eat. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I could probably quote this, but Brother Spurgeon said, don't do that. You'll make yourself look like a worse nut than you are. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You see, I told you that men, most churchgoers today, do not worship God. They worship themselves because they keep doing what they want to do. Covetous, boasters, and all of these are sins. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They love to be entertained these days. And all these churches these days are doing just that. They entertain them. Send the little children out to children's church where they can be entertained out there. And the parents won't have to be worried with the little brats that they're raising up. And the reason they're little brats is because they won't tear their behinds up for breaking God's commandments. That's why little children ought to be spanked. Well, beat. No, I don't mean abused. I meant take a piece of leather and put it on that backside and make them wish they'd never done what they did because they're breaking the commandments of God.
Right.
Not because we're mad at them, not because we hate them, but because we love them and we want them to understand. You don't break God's commandment.
Amen.
You don't break God's commandment. Because when you do, I'm going to try to break this limb off on you for breaking God's commandment. And they don't do that anymore. Therefore, the children do not know they're breaking the commandment of God when they disobey their parents. And you wonder why we're in the shape we're in. Got an email and they asked me, do you trust your government? I said, the government is made up of men, isn't it? It is made up of men, and the Bible says, don't put your trust in the flesh. You cannot trust man. They will fail you. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You see, they deny the power of God when they say that you have to do something in order to be saved. They deny the power of God when they say, I've got to yield my will before God can save me. In other words, I'm surrendering to God. He's not conquering me. That's what they're saying in their own mind. I'll come just as I am, and I will accept Jesus as my personal Savior because it's my free will to do so. Well, that's not being conquered. Being conquered is when your heart's broke because you see yourself as a sinner. And you've been conquered by the King. And you're one of His children. And it breaks your heart when you offend Him by transgressing His word. May the Lord have mercy upon us. We'll stop there for today. Brother Guy, if you ask the Lord's blessings on us, we'll be dismissed.